Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Jules Fancast. I'm very lucky today to be joined by another former Gillingham player. Today we have former Gillingham winger Jermaine McGlashan on the line. Jermaine, firstly, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no worries, cheers.
So I want to start with obviously how the world is and football is at the minute with this current coronavirus pandemic and obviously how it's brought a very sudden halt to football, so to speak. There's obviously no major leagues playing anymore. Obviously, the EFL have stopped, the National League now have stopped. And as a current player, currently absolutely in the National League, and I was wondering what it's like for you hearing that news and sort of like you're left in a lurch in a sense, aren't you? Because you really don't have any idea when you're next going to play again.
Yeah, of course. Like, there was a, sort of a bit of a build up. There's the sort of virus going around, and you know, to take precaution, and you know, it started with sort of wash your hands and that. And then, like, literally, obviously, it picked up a bit of momentum, and then it was just like, hang on, you know, we're not going to be, you know, allowed to train and play for a bit. Then there was obviously a date. It's a bit of a weird one because I played, I think, when there was only, I think, two National League games, or maybe just us, on, I think it was on telly. And I think that was the game, that was the last game. We travelled up to Halifax to play the game, and by that point, you know, a lot of all the football league and that were being told that they, you know, weren't to be playing in that. So, probably the last game to have played, and even and like I said, you're back, you're frustrated, like everyone else. But obviously, health is more important. Obviously, schedules changed. We've been all given programs like other, you know, players that I've spoken to day to day of, and you're just trying to keep your programs. It's a bit harder because you can't go outside as much, but you sort of try and, you know, fit your routine about around maybe a 5k run here and there. But like I say, it's just playing it by ear, and everyone's sort of waiting around, twiddling their thumbs, and sort of waiting to see what happens in terms of will it be, you know, will we be able to go back at any stage?
Yeah, it was a come at probably the worst time possible for you and Ebbsfleet, because you come off the back of a really impressive win at Halifax, and you'd you're still in a sense of relegation trouble. Really, I've seen a few games early on this season. I was reporting on down at the Cuffling Stadium, and it didn't look good. But you have seemed to have picked up recently, and obviously that win away at Halifax is massive. And as you say, it was one of the only few games that was on that day. I went to watch Dartford National League South, because we were meant to play Fleetwood, and obviously that didn't happen. And I was speaking to some of their players afterwards. I was like, it must be weird knowing that, because I think they went into the playoff places that day because they won.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it must be so weird knowing that you've just got a massive win to put you in the playoff places, but come, you know, a couple of months, it could be worth nothing if the season is then null and void. Does that sort of affect a player's perspective on games? Like when you went into that Halifax game and you obviously knew that all the other games in the country had been called off, did you sort of have a sense that, you know, obviously we'll go out there and give it our all, but did you have that idea, like, what if this is all worth nothing come the end of it?
I think we sort of obviously, you know, we've got to be professional when we went there to do a job. We don't know what implications us, you know, sort of, I think we just sort of, fourth bottom, so we don't know what implications that win could have done for us, so we needed to sort of carry on as normal. I think it was weird going up there, knowing that everything, because you'd almost, we kind of half anticipated it being off because everyone else was off, but we still had to try and prepare, so that wasn't ideal. But you know, we obviously picked up a bit of form later on, and this has probably come at a bad time for us in terms of how we've been playing. But like I said, there's been a lot of speculation about three teams going down, for example. So I think that took us to just above that place. But like I said, I don't know if it was the case. But all we can do is try and win games. And, you know, like I said, if it does carry on, then we've picked up a bit of momentum and you know, sort of caught teams, you know, above us. So it's frustrating as well. Like I say, we don't, like, not knowing what's happening. You know, like I said, it's probably come at a bit of a bad time in terms of the form we picked up. And, you know, like everyone else, we're sort of hoping we can go back and sort of finish the job. I think there were 7-8 games left, and we're just looking at it like that. I don't think anyone's sort of looking at it, you know, being in vain or sort of, you know, all for nothing sort of thing. We just have to wait and see what happens. But like I say, it's out of our hands and everyone else's at the minute.
obviously, it's something that's very unprecedented. You look at every league in England, and there's so many, you know, potential legal battles to be had if a season was to be null and void, for example. You look at the likes of Liverpool, who have essentially, well, we all know they've won the league, they just haven't officially won the league, if you like. Then you look in the Championship, and there's Leeds and West Brom, who have got a sizable gap ahead of the first playoff place. So you'd imagine if the season was to finish, them two would both go up. And then, you obviously, if the season is null and void, then they've worked on a hard season. And there's something I heard the other week about an idea that was potentially, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, it probably won't, but that they were going to give Liverpool the Premier League but not relegate any teams to the Premier League. And you look at that and think, well, if you're Leeds and West Brom, if you can give them the title but then you're not relegating anyone, then how's that fair on us, sort of thing. So there is a lot of implications, and most of that is down to like admin work and whatnot, and that's not from a player's perspective, because obviously, as you say, there's not really anything you can do about it. But on a slightly more positive note, what are you doing now you're quarantined? Are you a Football Manager guy, a FIFA guy?
Yeah, to be fair, I've been, you know, a little bit of FIFA, a bit of Warzone, Call of Duty with, you know, a few of the boys that sort of ex-clubs that I'm still in contact with. And you just try and occupy yourself. Obviously, I've got two little ones that keep me on my toes anyway. So, you know, my missus got all these little jobs for me to do, which is frustrating now because obviously you've got no excuse not to do them. And it's just that's where I'm at the minute. Obviously, it's hard because you can't really go out. You know, you're isolating. But yeah, that's where I'm at. It's literally, you know, probably a bit of quality time with the family. You just try and look at the positive things. I've played up north a lot in the last stages of my career. So it's been nice to come back down to Ebbsfleet and obviously carrying on to even being able to stay home. So I'm looking at the positives, trying to keep fit, spend quality time, get a bit of PlayStation in here and there to keep me sane. But yeah, probably a bit of a FIFA guy and that, a bit of Ultimate Team and that, when they don't frustrate me. But yeah, so I'm at.
Yeah, just a final thing on this. I suppose the main thing is for you now that, although you don't know when you are going to come back, it's just making sure that when it does return, you are ready to complete the season, if at all that does happen.
Yeah, of course. And like I say, there's only so much you can do. You know, you get these programmes, every team, you know, and set of players will have their groups with the managers and the coaches, and you just be getting, you know, all these programmes and that, and you condition yourself as much as you can. But like I said, it's hard. Nothing compares to that sort of training and kicking a ball around and that match fitness and sharpness. But everyone's in the same boat in that regard. It'll be strange going back. It's starting to get to that stage for me now. Personally, I'm thinking, you know, going back after, you know, it's been a bit of a layoff now. Now it's getting to that stage where it feels a bit weird, but I'd sort of love to get going. But more importantly, in terms of what's going on with the sort of health side of things, you know, that's with the supporters and everything, and there's a community and everyone else. We just want to sort of, you know, get to a stage where, you know, we're comfortable and there's no sort of underlying issues and everything. So however long that takes and whatever is, you know, might be costing me in that stage, then so be it, really. We just all have to get on with it. It's a weird time for everyone.
Yeah, we'll move on to more slightly positive thoughts now. We can talk about the coronavirus outbreak for God knows how long, more than we don't want to, really. Hopefully we won't have to much longer in the future. But we'll move on to your career path. Now, I noticed through a lot of your old clubs, you're very southern, southeastern based, really, aren't you, in terms of the clubs you've played for. I look at later on in your career when you go to teams like Wrexham and Swindon a bit further up.
Yeah.
But mainly, especially through your younger years, you were more southeastern based, with spells at Staines, Ashford, Mersham. How important was that to the movement of your career? Because obviously when you did join Aldershot in 2010, that was EFL football. Was that sort of between that time from just joining Aldershot to the teams you were before, is that when you sort of knew that you would become, you'd sort of made it in a sense as a professional?
Yeah, I sort of flirted around non-league for years, and obviously I was based on, you know, brought up in Croydon. So yeah, I was, like I say, I went to Kingston College. They had a link with the Academy of Staines, so that's where I was in and around it. And you know, fortunately, you know, an agent saw me, and he sort of gave me the opportunity to, he actually sent me to Southampton when they were League One. I think I trained there, and then, you know, I think I was about 20, 21. I was too old to, you know, go on to the youth team sort of set up, so they sent me to Aldershot. It was Pardew, the manager at the time, and he just, you know, I think he put in a good word. And, you know, I remember playing one off, and then literally, you know, the manager just took me off, and I was upset because I thought, you know, and he said, I've seen it enough. And he said, yeah, from there, like, Aldershot, and it was Football League, a 1-year contract, and I was over the moon. I was about 21, and for me, it was a little bit late, you know, at the time coming in, but, you know, since then, you know, things have sort of moved on and had a, you know, a career I could be happy with, considering. But yeah, from all the shot, I kind of felt like this is next level, just the setup. It was all new to me. I was used to non-league, you know, evening training and all that, so it was all learning on the job, really, and it was just a, you know, it was different grade for me, really.
So when you talk about you at Southampton for a bit, am I right in thinking that was the same team when they had the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Adam Lallana around?
Yeah. I remember like seeing Ox, and he's a baby. He's kids with Jason Punch and, you know, Lallana. They were all there, and it was, you know, the setup was unreal. Like I said, I'm coming from the likes of Ashford Town at the time, Ashford Town, Middlesex. So it's madness to me. And I remember the Ox, you know, asking how old I was, and, you know, he thought I was a bit old then. And then I think Pardew was saying that, you know, he likes me, but he didn't want to stunt Chamberlain's growth. And he was right in saying that when you look at things now. So, you know, he moved me on to Aldershot. And like I said, I think he played a massive part in me, them signing me, because, you know, obviously, although it didn't happen at Southampton at that time, which was a League One club, you know, I pretty much walked into Aldershot and had to prove myself from there. But yeah, like I say, obviously, you know, I still talk to one or two players from there, Jason and Ox and that, and just from Southampton days. But like I said, they've had good careers now anyway, and they've cracked on to be, you know, really decent international players.
Yeah, so you went to Aldershot and made 61 appearances, scored 5 goals in that time. I think it was both seasons in League Two. You had some impressive runs in the cup, I noticed, with Aldershot. You played against Manchester United. Well, you did lose 3-0, but, you know, part and parcel, I suppose. You then was given a move to Cheltenham in 2012 for around, I trust Wikipedia this for some reason, about £60,000 to £80,000. And that was around the time that apparently Gillingham, who you obviously moved to later on the Team Osport, were interested at the time. But you chose to go to Cheltenham. Is there any definite interest in that, or is it just a rumour?
I can't remember who the manager was at the time, but I knew the Cheltenham one was there. I think for me, it was a situation where I was young, but I was quite young in the game, and Aldershot was struggling, I think, at that time. And I think the managers rang me at the time and said, look, I think it was a bit of a situation where the club needed the money and could do with that money. So I think, obviously, where Cheltenham were looking to pay that fee, I think that probably forced the hand. Cheltenham were top of the table at the time as well. And I think it was one of those where I was quite naive, and that although I wanted to sort of stay down south, I think, you know, the Cheltenham one would have suited the club more in terms of Aldershot. So that's probably why I moved there and turned it down at the time. And I probably played some of my best football at Cheltenham. You know, it was the first time I sort of moved out by myself. You know, and it was different. Obviously, I had the playoffs back to back, and, you know, I sort of, you know, made a bit of my name, a name for myself up Cheltenham, and, you know, no regrets there. A brilliant experience there, lovely area.
It does seem so far that every club you come from, you have players that are in that squad that are, you know, really noticeable names. Obviously, talk about also Chamberlain, that Cheltenham team. I remember Marlon Pack was there, wasn't he? He's now an established Championship level footballer. And how much did that sort of team togetherness in teams in terms of popular players like that, and how they've developed their careers like you did at the time? Did you always see that the players who were playing with at Cheltenham and Aldershot and Southampton know that you would all go to higher places? No disrespect to those teams, of course.
In terms of the Cheltenham situation, you go in, you obviously don't, obviously the CVs are not what they are there, but you go there and you know you've got a good side. But I think a lot of the lone players that we'd bring in, from Mark Yates was the manager at the time, Jack Butland, sort of Luke Garbutt, it's now you realise how good the side you was playing with. Obviously, like I said, it was only, you know, Loney's coming in, and like Marlon Pack, like you say, and that. So it's obviously as you crack on, you realise how good a team you really did have. And to be fair, we've done really well with Cheltenham. And it's like, you know, there's some that obviously didn't sort of crack on with careers that were doing well at Cheltenham. So, like I say, football's it's a game of opinions. You know, managers can come in and you know, your face don't fit the bill. It can sort of, you know, change your career path. All sorts of things can happen. So, like I say, it was brilliant at Cheltenham in terms of that sort of thing. And now you look back and realise how good a team it was, in terms of where players have sort of cracked on with, and probably why it done so well. And obviously why I was unfortunate to not get that promotion to League One, obviously, which a lot of people know about with Nick Powell.
Yeah, why do you think that was? Because obviously you mentioned back-to-back playoffs. The second year you reached the playoffs of the season, we won the league, which is nice. Obviously, having been in the playoffs for the first season, not made it, was Was it sort of more hurt? Did it hurt you more the second time that you couldn't make it? I think you lost to Northampton the second season, but then went and lost to Bradford at Wembley, I think. What do you think it was that didn't quite get you over the line?
It was a funny one because the second season, you know, usually you're hungover from the first and getting so close. I was, you know, really close to moving on to not stay in the second season. I didn't believe we could do that again, and fair play, we did. But we just fell short again. But it was just, it was, like I say, I think that first season, you know, with the whole thing, getting to Wembley and getting that close. And the season we had, I think it was tough for me because I signed in January. And they didn't win a game in for a long time. And obviously, they changed the system to fit me in because they paid money for me. So, you know, they were top of the league flying. And then by the end of that Jan, I think they were third or fourth. So there's a lot of... And me, like I say, mentally young. As though I was 21, I was mentally young. It was tough for me because, you know, I was getting a lot of, you know, sort of... I wouldn't say abuse, but it was a lot of pressure on the K. We didn't need this signing because, you know, that sort of thing. But, like I say, the second season, I was obviously more in and around it, established. And like I say... We fell short again, so that's probably my only, you know, sort of regret and maybe downfall. That team didn't get promoted because it was a really good side, and like you say, you've seen players sort of go and crack on with their careers and gone to play higher anyway. So, yeah, it's a bit of speed in terms of the Wembley side, but you know, it's something that I take with me, and it's probably, you know, shapes me a little bit anyway.
Yeah, so you did move on to Gilles. I think there's a season after the one you just mentioned, or we'd been in League One for a season and we struggled the first year. After we got promoted, we didn't quite hit the heights that we thought we would do after obviously taking the momentum from winning the league for one reason or another. Season after our first win in League One, we didn't go down, but it was a bit of a damp squid, so to speak. There wasn't really much to write home about that year. But you were signed by Peter Taylor amidst offers from SPL clubs, which I found quite surprising. Is that something you ever considered? Because as you've said, you're very south-eastern based in Scotland, obviously right up the other end. Is that ever something you took into deep consideration before eventually choosing us?
I think at that stage it was news to me. They'd actually come and watch me. I think it was Hib earning that time, and they'd come to watch me at Cheltenham. And when they offered coming, it was strange, but you know, I'd gone down there, I'd flown down there, I'd looked at the training ground, which, you know, if you've heard, this really nice training ground, and I obviously spoke to the manager, and I was really interested, really, really interested. At the time, it was easy for me to move around. Once I'd done the Cheltenham thing, that sort of opened it up for me because I thought, okay, I can live on my own. I didn't really have responsibility. I had no kids. I had a girlfriend, and, you know, so I could go anywhere sort of thing. So it was attractive. And then, obviously, you know, Peter Taylor, you know, wanted to speak to me. And like I said, that stage, I could sort of go on holiday and come back. And then, you know, obviously, with, you know, the sort of CV he had and who he is, that sort of attracted me to the club. It was quite local. And obviously, you had a chance to move to Kent, which is not too far from London where I was based. So that probably edged it for me. And enjoyed working under him. Slightly different to what I was used to. He's a bit more old school, but like I say, you know, I met some good players in that year, that first year I started with him as well.
Yeah, he's very old school, as Peter Taylor. He was back in the day when we won promotion at the old Wembley against Wigan. He was our manager that day, and he's still... Imagine, I think his last job was at, I think, Dagenham. I might be wrong on that, I think it was. And obviously he came back for a spell, and we'd been in and out with him. You know, he's one of them, is like a bit of a revolving door at the club sometimes. You know, he disappears for a bit, then takes on director of football and comes back and be the manager again. And, you know, he has a lot of respect from obviously a lot of fans at our club for, you know, obvious reasons for in his heyday, so to speak. What did you make of your first season at Gilles? Because I think if I remember correctly, the season before, this season I'm talking about now was the one before we had the really, really promising one for about three quarters of the season, and we were still in that sort of shape in League One where we were holding our own but not really managing to push to the next level somewhat.
Like I said, it was a chance for me to play in that league, so it was a step up, and, you know, like I say, I enjoyed it under, you know, obviously Peter Taylor for a period. It weren't really happening in terms of, I think the system didn't suit me. I think it was a point where I was sort of playing wing back, and it was a bit hard for me to sort of you know get myself going and establish, you know, starting. But I was more settled outside of football, but it just weren't quite happening for me, I think, on the pitch. Like I said, and at that stage, it was sort of up and down. I think from what I remember, I don't really think we hit much consistency in terms of you know, obviously back-to-back wins and that from what I remember that first season. I think it was after when, obviously, it might have been the Fantastic Four if they called them all three, I think, and then coming in, and I think really, you know, it was a bit of a super sub, I remember, and that was probably my best goal return as well. I've had my career, I think there's a point when I was scoring goals in that, or maybe the last stages of Peter Taylor, something in and around that, but yeah, that's what I more remember in terms of highlights.
Yeah, I remember because when we had the Fantastic Four in, I think we won our first game with them, and then Justin came in, which was a really breath of fresh air for us, because Paul Scally, our chairman, has been known to sort of like people, you know, like to call it jobs for your mates and somewhat, where you basically give someone who's been a former player here before a job and see how they get on, which happened after Justin left of AD Pennock, but you weren't with us at that point. But yeah, of course, Justin came in, I think we won our first game at, I think, Peterborough. That was off his first game, I believe. And yeah, that season following, we couldn't have asked for really more consistency for three quarters of it. We were, you know, absolutely flying. We were top of the league for so long. And we had reason to believe, and rightly so. And it's unfortunate how it all sort of phased out, I suppose. I think I look back to that game away at Wigan specifically, when they were, I think, second and we were top, or maybe vice versa. And, you know, we were 2-0 up on the night, and it looked like everything was going insane, and we sort of ended up throwing it away, and I think we never really recovered from that point, sadly.
Yeah, I think I'd say that was good, fun to say that was probably the turning point. In terms of that, like I say, I remember that spell I was probably coming off the bench a lot more, but I felt that was one time in my career I accepted being that 12th man, almost, because I was coming off the bench and, you know, changing games or managed to win them or having some sort of impact. The changing room was unreal in terms of the togetherness. So it was hard when, you know, we fell short because, like I say, you crack on in your career. I remember people saying the changing rooms after games that we, you know, we dropped in points, they said, you know how hard it is to get promoted, and there's a chance to get promoted to the champ, and it was like, do you know what I mean? It was madness. And it's only when you, like I say, you crack on the creek, you realise how big that was and how unfortunate it was. I mean, like I say, for example, I think it was the next season after that, he went with the Diamond, and I was edged out even more. But it was one of those where I couldn't really have any complaints in terms of, like I said, Bradley Dapp fitted in the Diamond well, and he was absolutely flying. But like I said, that's probably the most I've accepted not being involved because of how the team were doing, and you just wanted to sort of be a part of it in the changing room. Was probably the most together I've had, you know, as a player in the changing room. So, well, like I said, credit to, you know, the manager brings that, and obviously the players, and like I said, I'm in contact with a lot of them now.
Yeah, it was a weird one how it all sort of ended, because I remember I always thought what helped us out for the first three quarters of the season was that you looked at the other teams who were fighting for promotion. I think it was Wigan who went up, was it Millwall maybe went up in the playoffs?
Yeah,
and you look at us, we're sort of in that bubble, and we're the team you look at and think, people that I don't support, Jules, probably look at us and think, what are they doing there? They haven't got the budget to compete with this and that. They shouldn't be there. And I sort of think the lack of expectancy we had in comparison to those other teams, where you look at the budgets of Wigan, you think, in this league with that budget, they need to get promoted. We didn't have that. We were sort of like a flying through and doing all we can without the expectancy. But I do think the pressure of where we got to may have just caught up with us a bit. But, you know, obviously you did play under Justin Edinburgh, the sad news last summer, I think in June, came out he had died, and it was obviously said that took everyone by a bit of shock. He was obviously so young for a manager, for a person. Obviously he made his name at Tottenham. He's most recently at Leyton Orient, where they obviously got promoted back into the Football League, where they are now. What was your main opinion, and how did you get on with him as a manager, and what are your maybe fondest memories of him?
With Justin, it was, you know, the first sort of thing that comes to me is he liked to have a laugh and a bit of banter. But when it was work time. He's the most probably modern manager I've played under. Obviously, where he's played the game, you know, quite recent coming in, I had that with him. Even when I weren't playing, I didn't have a bad word to say about him because his man management skills were there. You'd probably hear other players say it, and that was it with Justin. You know, I was having my first little one at the time, and he was ledge with me. You know, he was letting me give me time off where I needed it, and that. So he was man managing me well, and that's probably why in terms of when I weren't playing as much, I was content. Well, obviously, every footballer wants to play every game, but I accepted it because I was being looked after, if you like. So that, you know, again, it's only when you get to the later stages of your career, you look back on it and realise, you know, credit to him. And like I say, the likes of Leighton Orient and that, you know, he built a change room, the togetherness there and that. So, yeah, like I said, he always had a bit of banter. And like I said, the main thing for me was his man management skills. I think it touched a lot of people. You know, me included in terms of me. I went down, I can't remember if it was at Remney, but I went down to the stadium and they had a little sort of, you know, memorial there. When Scully told me, and then obviously it just goes to show, like, he's touched a lot of people and that, and it was probably, you know, a bit of a tough time for the boys, the Orient boys, and obviously they've had to, you know, sort of crack on just in his name, really.
It was great to see when it was announced that all our former players from that season, you know, look at how they've moved on, like John Egan specifically is now playing in the Premier League in European football, which is crazy but fantastic. And he obviously mentioned a little tribute to him. It's nice to see everyone still remembers how important he was to the football club. I met him a fair few times, remember having a beer with him at a Player of the Year Awards, and he was like, I think he'd had a few. And he was talking to me about, I think this was prior to the Millwall game, where I think it was the last home game of the season, where I think playoffs we needed like a big like fluke or whatever to actually make it at that time. But he was still saying, we're going to make it, we're going to go to Wembley, we're going to get to the Championship. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, we are. And he made a believer out of people.
Yeah.
Even though it seemed the table virtually impossible at the time. But it's probably gave me one of my best seasons supporting Jules fan, other than, of course, the title winning season.
Yeah.
And that's something I won't remember. And obviously, he's got the Justin Edinburgh Foundation now, which we'll leave a link to in the in the description of this podcast, so everyone can go check that out. Run by his son Charlie for a great cause, obviously, and we obviously will be supporting that. Now, I want to talk to your current career now. Obviously, you had spells at Southend and Swindon, regrettably, because we don't like them. But then when you were at Swindon, you did make loan moves to first Wrexham and then Chesterfield. I think before now, obviously, going to Ebbsfleet where you are now. I just want to talk about the move to the National League, because we had an interview with Chris Weldale, who was a player. I think he was here just before you,
yeah.
I think. And he's now playing at Chelmsford in the National League South. Mm-hmm. And we talked to him about how the decision to make the move from, you know, an EFL club down to the National League, is it sort of like one of them that you feel like you still have it in you to play EFL football, but it's sort of one of those things that has to be done, or did you feel like you had more to offer?
It's a tough one, obviously, with the fact I was at Swindon. You know, the first season I was under, Phil Brown. You know, obviously, once he got the sack, I think the new manager come in, and obviously he wanted to get rid of a lot of players off the wage bill, etc. And it was hard for me because I was away from home. And then obviously where I was away from home, they were making it quite hard for me in terms of what can happen in the game is, you know, things can be made a bit harder for you because they want to sort of bring their own players in. So that being mixed with away from home, you're sort of looking at the next way out. Being under contract is tough to sort of sign elsewhere. So in the end, you know, I had the chance to go to Chesterfield. No, or was it Wrexham? Wrexham. And I had a long thought about that because I thought, you know, the old cliche they say is, why don't you sort of get in the National League? It's hard to get back out, sort of thing. It will be alone. But I sort of spoke to people close to me, and I knew that obviously they were a big club in terms of they were top at the time, and it would be nice to sort of get a promotion and look at that. But I remember having a culture shock when I went back down that level because I thought, you know, sort of coming from the Football League, you know, where I feel I could still play anyway, in my opinion, I thought I'd be alright, sort of thing. And I remember the first couple of games, and the fullback smashed me to sort of remind me, listen, do you know what I mean? And how aggressive it is down there, and the things they let go that level. So it was a bit of a mad one. So the respect's there. I think a lot of big, you know, a lot of Football League players have dropped down to the National League now because of finances and whatever. So it has, the level is decent. There's a few years ago where I wouldn't have entertained it. But now, probably, you know, like I said, getting to a bit of a later stage of my career, as much as you still feel you want to be playing in the Football League, there's one or two clubs that, you know, sort of attracted me, like Wrexham and like the likes of Chesterfield. which are big clubs in that league, albeit it didn't quite happen in terms of systems, etc., etc. So you can find yourself a bit lost if you're not careful, especially when you're up north and you're from down south. So it's a bit of a tough time in my career, but like I said, I'm probably more equipped to that now than I was when I was a bit younger.
Yeah, I suppose it is easy when you played in the EFL for so long to sort of think that, you know, you're dropping down to a league and you should have it. Not to say easy street and disrespect the league, but you should be, having played EFL football for so long, you should be able to acclimatise to it pretty easily and be heads above certain players in the division. But it is tough league to get out of, especially. I remember I watched a lot of Ebbsfleet games this season, and the level is good. It really is a very physical league. Like, people don't hesitate to put a foot in, and you know, it's a bit tough to really play through games and not get a knock on the way through, especially for someone like you who's running down the wing and all the fullback wants to do is just stop you by any means necessary. Now, if that means taking you out, then so be it. But yeah, you know, as you say, it is a bit of a culture shock. Have you found it more difficult coming to, you know, someone like Ebbsfleet after the spells at Wrexham and Chesterfield, where you're going straight into a team who are basically, there's no real rest spot, you have to start performing now, otherwise you've got to be in relegation trouble?
Yeah, like, I think the big thing for me is the fact Steve Lovell got on the phone to me. There was no other way I was sort of going to entertain that. And so obviously there was that trust. A big thing for me as well is that, like I say, at my age, to sort of, I've got a young family, it was a chance to come home. And it was to have a look at it, but to play football matches to the end of the season, the worst thing you can do is sort of, you know, because I could obviously I still have the year, obviously, year at Swindon, so I could have just gone back and sort of sat around and that, which I knew wouldn't have helped anybody. So I just had the chance to sort of play football to the end of the season. I had a good chat with Steve, who I trusted, which was important to me. There was a chance to come home, and I saw the situation and I was up for the challenge. You know, and like I said, it's been good. And the most important thing for me is I'm playing again. Alan sort of was going to reevaluate at the end of the season. Obviously, things have changed slightly in terms of whether the season would finish. But I went there and you know, picked a good bit of form and enjoyed it again. I think it was at my age, you've got to be enjoying it. It's so important. And I started enjoying it again. I'm home, which is a big thing, like I say. Like I said, location, if they could stay in the National League, it'd be something I'd look at. It's depending, obviously, if Steve stayed as well, because he's a big thing for me being there. And obviously, I'll get on with the manager now, so that's where I'm at with that now.
Well, at least you're settled in now, because you're sort of, if you look at the players that are in the National League, you'd be one that people would pick out as a bit of a marquee player, especially if a team struggling down the bottom. So hopefully we do get the season continued and you do manage to get yourself out of trouble. Now, a couple of last things, a bit of a fun one to wrap your head around. Who were some of the best players you played? Obviously, when we were going through your career path, we mentioned the likes of, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lallana at Southampton, Marlon Pack at Cheltenham. You also mentioned Brad Stack with Gills. There can be any player you've played, one that you've played with, let's do it that way, and then one that you've played against. And I did mention, obviously, the game against Manchester United, so I suppose that might play a part in the players you played against, perhaps.
I'd probably say it's between Marlon and Bradley, but I'd probably say Bradley had that extra bit at the time when I played with him. And obviously, you know, because I think there was times when he was single-handedly winning us games and that, and do you know what I mean? And for me, the reason it was for Bradley that for me is because he probably didn't live as well as a footballer should live, but he just had so much raw talent. And obviously, he's looked after himself more and cracked on. But yeah, for me, ability-wise, Bradley Dack played against. Probably, I'd say Michael Owen. That United game,
he scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he was frightening. You could just see the movement. They were just next level above. And you could just obviously, it's a big side. There was the likes of Berbatov and a few other big ones. But I think Owen's, I remember coming off that pitch saying, "What a guy he is! What a player he is!" You know what I mean? When you grow up sort of watching them boys, you know, the World Cup, and then you get to play against them, it's good. Pogba came on, but he was a kid. Didn't see much from him, obviously, but like I said, he's household now. But probably Michael Owen.
Yeah, that must have been just before he went to Juventus, I suppose, back then.
Yeah.
I think people forget he was at United before the Juventus, I do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players like that who come through, move away, and they come back and you forget they were there in the first place.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The final thing, if you were to pick out one career highlight.
One career highlight. Probably definitely scoring in the second leg of the playoffs to take Cheltenham to Wembley. The reason that is because, like I said briefly, I remember going in Jan, it was a culture shock, it was hard for me. I had to earn the respect of the boys that seen that I've been brought, and the fans were a little bit, I felt a bit of pressure from the fans because obviously the team started losing, they were flying, and then we ended up having to be in the playoffs instead of winning the league, and for me to get off to Wembley and then sort of everyone sort of on side again, that was massive for me. I'll never forget that, and sort of ever since then it's been good. Obviously it didn't quite happen, it was Nick Powell's day, something's written, but that to this day I get reminded of, you know, my heroics in the playoffs, and like I said, it was a chance to play at Wembley, who not many players will get to play there, so yeah, probably there.
Yeah, if it wasn't for my ankle injury when I was in year 9, I would have been there, but whatever. Jermaine, thank you for your time tonight, and thanks for coming on. Obviously, hopefully, I'll say best luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully, that's sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming on, and enjoy the rest of your time off, I suppose.
No worries. Look after yourself, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.